Kamarak Kunte and Thor. Begin a Kamarak Kunte and Thor.
Black Hole na Héireann is a significant event in Ireland's culture and character, maybe the most important, a time when we come together and welcome so many visitors, so many of our own people who have come to celebrate our music, song, dance and language. Ennis is the capital of a county that is renowned internationally for its wonderful living music heritage. As I've often said in Irish, Crochiacht gan Teorainn, endless possibilities for creativity.
For Clare and for Innes, you know, when you see crowds like this around you, it's super, super.
There's a great buzz all over the county, sure. It's a great boost to the county also.
And look, we're biased here, but this will be a special one.
More than special, it will be a banner one.
You're all very welcome to the first of the lunchtime sessions on Clare FM.
It's nice to be back in Clare. I've just come from Portland, Oregon, on the other side of the United States, and I just landed. I haven't been here for the fly for a long time. I'd always been in America this time of the year, but anyway, I came back because it's in my own backyard. I'm a proud Clare man.
I'm delighted to introduce Cherish the Ladies.
Fly's so good, nobody wants to go home. I think we should have it for 2 weeks next year.
We're having a fantastic week. There's a great buzz about the town. We're just really, really soaking up the fly atmosphere and having a ball.
And this is a good spot for a fly anyway.
Fantastic. Will you be back next year?
We're really surely, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Standard of music, just fantastic.
Good evening, I'm Fiona Cahill. A Clare member of the Irish Coast Guard has passed away after she was on board a boat which capsized off Kilkee this afternoon. Two other volunteers have been rescued from the water, one after spending a number of hours trapped at the bottom of the cliff. From Kilkee, Clare FM's Gavin Grace reports.
A mood of sadness lingers over Kilkee this evening following today's tragedy, which unfolded at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Three members of the local Coast Guard unit were taking part in a search here in Kilkee on board a rigid inflatable boat which capsized in choppy conditions. One of those on board, a woman, was airlifted to hospital in Limerick after she was retrieved from the water. Unfortunately, she has succumbed to her injuries. A second woman was also rescued and taken by road to that same hospital, while the third, a man, spent 4 hours trapped in a cove at the base of a cliff. He was airlifted to safety by the Shannon-based rescue helicopter and is understood to be shaken, but his injuries are not life-threatening. Tributes being paid this morning from the highest levels of society and right along the Clare coast in particular, following the death yesterday of Katrina Lucas, a member of the Doolin Coast Guard. Matty Shannon of the Doolin Coast Guard joins me in the line. Good morning to you, Matty.
Good morning, Gavin.
I can only start by expressing my deepest and most profound condolences to you and to everybody else in Doolin this morning. I can only imagine how you feel.
Thanks very much, Gavin. It's the same from all over the country. It's been a sad day for Katrina's family, Bernard, her husband, who's also a member of our unit, and you know, their children, Ben and Emma, and their parents and all the members of their family.
It's the nightmare, I presume.
It is the nightmare that we never expect, you know. But it's terrible that a young woman could be lost, could lose her life like this. You know, every time we go out, we know in the back of our minds that there's always the fear of an accident. But we think it'll never happen to us, you know. But, you know, we've reached a clear light of day today. We've lost one of our dear team in our organisation. Young woman. She always wanted to be a climbing instructor. And on the 16th of June this year, she achieved that. She gave over 700 hours a year taking part in the Coast Guard activities. She's been, and that's not including time, she's been organising and planning for other events in the unit. That's what she did as a worker and as a volunteer in the Doolin Coast Guard. As a family woman, you know, she was a mother, comforter. Travelled the world over with her family. She worked hard on the organic patch of a garden. They had hens. farm, farm life. That's what she achieved. It's strange that people can be taken over by an organisation like this, but they've enjoyed every minute of it. And we can only wish them the best in the future, the small family.
Okay. Matty, we will leave you to grieve.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
My name is Una. I'm from a large family. We were normal enough, I suppose. The only difference was that for years, I was abused by multiple people who visited our home. The sad thing is that nothing of a personal nature was ever discussed in our house, so I never really knew that what has been done to me was wrong. I probably even thought this was normal behaviour. As I got older, I figured that I'd been chosen as the one to be sent off with these monsters. I'd be taken away from home so that they could have their way with me. I'd be sent back home, wrecked. My body would be bruised and battered and sore. These incidents happened again and again, over and over. Afterwards, I used to spend a lot of time in my bedroom, curled up in the corner, rocking from side to side to comfort myself. These incidents became the norm. I just went along with them because it was easier. They always ended. I was always brought back home. I suppose I did look for attention in strange ways. One day I went out the back at home with a handsaw. I was rubbing the blade over the veins of both my wrists. I wasn't planning to kill myself or to harm myself either. I was just trying to draw some blood or make marks on my wrists. I suppose I needed someone to catch me in the act or to notice in the hope they'd ask if I was okay. But I was never noticed. Nothing changed and the abuse continued. For me, this was the norm, and while I knew it wasn't right, I just got on with it. Eventually, I moved away from home. I filed all the bad stuff at the back of my brain, way back there. In early 2000, I started a new job, and then suddenly all of the stuff that I thought I'd filed away started to unravel. Something I'd been able to manage and keep control of for so long started to spiral out of control. I was reliving the nightmare of my youth all day, every day. There were flashbacks and nightmares. There was no getting away from it. It was every hour of every day. I couldn't physically say the words out loud that I'd been sexually abused.
So many flags were displayed in the procession from Ennis Station to the Old Ground Hotel that it looked, to those of us who were marching at the rear, as if the crowd was one great blaze, with the failing sunlight falling on the orange of the hundreds of tricolours being held aloft. De Valera gave a short address outside the hotel and he declared for a free and independent Irish Republic. The crowd were electrified. The drums sounded, the people cheered long and loud, and it was a considerable time before he could resume his speech.
I stand here for a principle for the Irish Republic. I stand for what that flag of green, white and orange represents, and for the policy for which the men in 1916 fought and died for. I appeal to you, Clare men, to prove to the English government and to the world that the men who sacrificed their lives to save the soul of Ireland are not forgotten. The principles the men of Easterwick fought for will make Ireland a free nation, not a province of four-fifths of a nation that Mr. Lynch is campaigning for. It is not a question of Mr. Lynch. It is a question of whether the Irish people recognised British rule in Ireland or not. If the men of Clare do not elect me on the principle for which the men of 1916 fought, you would be showing the world that you would rather be English slaves than Irish freemen.
I was born in a country where people admire their great sporting heroes and how they aspire to stand upon mountains and always be winners. And never give less than their all.
They've never won the county hurling title, never won before in the black and amber of Ballymena. still all eyes and ears on Damien Fox in the far side, and Bellier lead by a goal. 2:40, it's all over, and Bellier are the county hurling champions of 2016, an absolutely gripping encounter in the park from start to finish.
May the best team win, win in the end.
Oh, Bellier!
Hi, I'm Risha, and I'm from Junior Infants. And my favourite player is Tony Kelly.
You have a massive smile on your face, Tony Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely brilliant. I suppose when we start out as a young fella, I suppose there's no guarantees you'll ever play for Clare, let alone win anything with Clare. So when you set out, this is your main goal, is to win the biggest trophy with your club. And we're a small place. We actually have a pub or a shop. And I suppose we're just such a small place. And I suppose we came with maybe two or three unbelievable teams underage.
On the way to Turles for the semi-final against Thomas's, on the way down with Derek. Derek said about somewhere around Nina, he said, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a song, he said, for the All-Ireland final. And I said, will you stall? I said, we're only at the semi-final. So there was no more talk from Nina to Turles. And on the way back, I couldn't get a word out of him, because what he was doing on the way back was he was writing the song. It's entitled Hogan's Heroes. You all know the chorus, right? So Derek went off and wrote the song, and then he got Meatloaf here to sing it. So, Hannah, you're going to sing this, right? Meatloaf is a bit more here than you at the moment. So we want everybody to join in the chorus when we come to it. Put your hands together and join in Hogan's Heroes. Over to you, lads.
Let's call out the name Bellier, Bellier. Bellier, our heroes, Bellier, Bellier.
It's not today or yesterday they burst onto the scene. Clare and Munster champions, and now they'll chance to dream. They're heading up to Crow Park on All-Ireland final day. We followed them for every step, and now you'll hear us say, let's call out the name Ballyhea, Ballyhea.
Welcome back to Killaloo. I've moved from Super Value, and I've gone to a very special place, Lakes Nursing Home in Killaloo. And there's a man here who is celebrating his 101st birthday tomorrow. 101. He was born in December of 1915. Tom Cooney is his name, and I'm here with him. You're a great Padre Pio man, I'm told.
That's correct, yes.
And you met him. What year did you meet him in?
1965. 3 years before he died. And there was one at 28 being nursing to meet him. And I ended up the only one he handed the wounded hand to kiss.
And you kissed the wound on his hand?
Yes, yes. So I had his love. I had the Father Pio glove there for about 40 years. And I handed it over to the church and the people in Killaloo to send the church, you see it.
You're as fit as a fiddle. You're very fit. Do you want to say Happy Christmas to all your family?
Happy Christmas.
Just because it's a special day, 101 years old tomorrow, the residents and the staff here at Lakes Nursing Home in Killaloo are going to sing Happy Birthday to Tom Cooney over there.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Fla Ciol na hÉireann, Inish. Live the music. With Clare FM.
My name is Martin Connolly from Killaloo in County Clare. I grew up in a home filled with Irish traditional music, listening to my brother Seamus playing and my other brother Michael. Seamus, as you probably all know, is a very well-known fiddle player. My main influences at the time were Paddy O'Brien, Joe Burke, and Bobby Gardner, a great accordion player from County Clare, from Liston Verna. And hopefully, we'll have three generations of Connollys on the stage at the one time, because Damien's son is coming from America, and he's throwing the accompaniment piano, playing piano under 12. So that's something to look forward to, for me especially.
Flakiol na hÉireann, Clare FM.
I'm good. You were in Nice on Thursday night.
We were indeed, yeah. I guess I was caught up in the middle of it. The small decisions, the more I think about it and think back on it, the small decisions you make in life have a big impact. But we were on the promenade. We just finished dinner and decided we'd go down to the promenade. About 10:45, maybe 10 or 15 minutes after fireworks finished up, out of the corner of my eye, I heard some screaming, and I saw a white truck literally maybe 20, 30 yards in front of the bar. And I remember thinking to myself, what in the name of God is a guy doing on a truck driving down along the promenade?
And at this stage, was he going very fast? How quickly was it before you realised the scale of what was happening, I suppose?
I suppose it was nearly immediate at that point. He wheeled back past the front of the bar, and someone shouted at that point, and we're under attack.
And what did you do yourself?
Chaos. So hit the floor, hit the deck. And literally maybe 20, 30 seconds after that, we heard gunshots. So I suppose it was panic at that stage as to what exactly was going on outside.
And how far away was the truck when the gunshots, this would, I presume, have been the man inside in a shootout with police that we know happened. How far away was that from where you were?
That was literally 50 yards. There was a side glass door, and if you consider that the cafe was facing onto the promenade, and there was a side glass door on that. And as you looked out the side glass door, maybe 50 yards away in the diagonal direction, we could see this white truck. Now, at that point, we were still under the tables, and we heard gunfire. And the problem was, at that stage, we really didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if this guy had stopped the truck, jumped out, and started shooting at people, or if it was the police. We couldn't see at that point. And at that point, I just looked out, and all I could see were bodies all over the road. There was people outside in the road, literally nobody near them. Bodies lying on the ground, and nobody near them. I think, like a lunatic as well. I ran out. Clearly, as I got it, the closer I got, they were smashed. Just absolutely smashed. Carnage on the ground, fragments of bone on the ground, pools of blood in places.
There we were, down the trench, and to make conversation with this very shy young fella, I said to him, yeah, it must be difficult for you, Michael, being here in England after, you know, where you come from, the west of Ireland. And he said, oh, jeez, it's a long way from Clare to here. And it just stuck in my head because he'd mentioned Clare first before we would have said it's a long way from here to Clare, but it's different to say it's a long way from Clare to here, where he found himself. I sat down and wrote the song. I'm also proud that the song has a resonance, not just here in Ireland, but recently I did a concert in London at the Royal Albert Hall, and I invited the audience to choose the repertoire, and by a country mile, the favourite song was From Clare to Here. So this is my version of it.
Well, it's four who share this room, and we work hard for the crack.
My accident happened in 2005. It was a drink driving car accident. What happened was, when I was just 18, I went to a friend's house first, and we had a few drinks there, and we went up to the pub, and we had a few more drinks there. And then I, on the way back from the pub, I drove out of the car park, and about 100 metres up the road, I hit a ditch, the car toppled over, hit the pillar, and the pillar came through the roof and hit me in the head.
My God.
I had no cuts, no bruises, no nothing.
Ow.
Just the one injury I had was all in the head, brain injury. And that... Now, there's a vast thing around me, I'm doing insane. The one injury I had was the brain injury.
Mm.
And that left me with bad balance. It damaged my cerebellum, and it damaged my eyesight. I have only sight in one eye, I have no sight in the left eye. And I have many cognitive difficulties as well.
And all because you made a mistake.
Yes, basically. I made a mistake, yeah.
What's it like to live with that?
Well, it's hard living with it, because I know every day I wake up, I know I shouldn't have done it. things might seem good at the moment, but with brain injuries, just it's a whole new life. The road to recovery was hard, but I was determined to get out of the wheelchair. So I did, and I eventually got out of the wheelchair. But as well as that, I have bad days some days with brain injury, but I try to stay positive all the time.
Fla Ciol na hÉireann, Inish. Live the music with Clare FM.
I'm here outside the cathedral with Superintendent Brendan McDonagh. Brendan, we got the ride to the church in time anyway today.
We did indeed, Fiona. As you know, the town is locked down for all traffic, and she was a bit concerned that she would get in on time, so we provided an escort from her from the house. So the guys went up with the motorbikes, and she was anxious to get away early, so I think she was probably the first bride in Clare that arrived 5 minutes early for the church.
Any problems with any of the visitors either? They all got here in time as well.
No, our traffic plan is working very well. As you see, there's no great delays in traffic, and we're very satisfied the way things are running at the moment.
It was simple how it happened. Like, I took all the necessary precautions, as I thought. I put on a pair of overalls, I had a pair of safety steel-toe cap Weltons, I went up and I was at the cattle during the day, and my knee came out through the waterproof section of the overalls. So at dinner time, when the knee came out, I just cut the waterproof section off the overalls, but I left a small tail, about 4 to 6 inches long, on my right side. So even when we went back out, we pulled out the diet feeder out of the shed. I spun it. I heard a knock coming from inside the diet feeder, and I hopped down off the tractor to see what was knocking. But as I walked around the back of the tractor, I said I'd change the hydraulic pipes on the diet feeder to make sure they were working the correct way around when I get back up. So as I pulled out the pipes, I stuck them in the correct sequence. I went to stand back then from the back of the tractor, but I had left the power shaft running, but just ticking over. And next thing I noticed, I couldn't feel the ground with my left leg. I had, you know, went to move back. So I looked down and I seen the leg was gone clean off me below the knee.
And you didn't even know?
I didn't even feel it. I felt nothing, do you know? What happened next was, you know, as I went to stand back, then I said, look, I'll turn the PTO off. There was a button on the side of the mudguard. I reached for the button, and as I reached, the next thing, I was being dragged into the machine, and it threw me over the ground on the other side. Now, if you've seen what I had to go through, you'd say, look, you're raving. You couldn't have done that, because there was a bar sticking out for the clock and for hose pipes, and the power shaft was so close on the drawbar. But it put me between the bar that was sticking out for the clock and the power shaft, landed me on the ground on the other side, and it stripped muscle to the bone on my right leg as well. You know? And I broke the two bones on my left arm. And it was only then, after getting into the hospital, that I felt the pain when they went to put the, I suppose, put the bones back together on my right leg.
Yeah.
And you'd hear me here roaring with pain.
On September 12th this year, an unspeakable tragedy occurred off the Clare coast at Kilkee. An unassuming Liscannor woman, Katrina Lucas, became the first Irish Coast Guard volunteer to die during an operation when the boat she was in capsized. The Doolan Coast Guard unit lost a valued and dedicated member. Her colleagues in the Clare Library Service lost a woman passionate about her work. Her husband Bernard lost his lifelong companion. Their children lost a loving mother, a woman who Ben Lucas called his hero. Now, it's been announced, Katrina is to be posthumously awarded the Clare Person of the Year honour by the Clare Association at a ceremony in Ennistymon in February. There can be no more fitting recipient than the brave volunteer who went to sea but never came home. This was recorded by Phil Coulter, especially for Clare FM, in a tribute to Katrina, the lyrics to his song, Home from the Sea.
On a cold winter's night, with a storm at its height, the lifeboat answered the call. They pitched and they tossed, till we thought they were lost, as we watched by the harbour wall. Though the night was pitch black, there was no turning back, for someone was waiting out there, and each volunteer had to live with his fear as they joined in a silent prayer. Home, home, home from the sea. Angels of mercy, answer our plea and carry us home, home, home from the sea. Carry us safely home from the sea.
Bernard Lucas, thanks for joining us on Morning Focus. Some wonderful tributes to your wife following her passing. Was Katrina as warm and as remarkable as everyone said?
Absolutely, and more so. Very happy, bubbly person. Just, you know, went about her stuff that she did very quietly behind the scenes, didn't look for any recognition or whatever, but just worked away. And we were very happy. Mm. Very happy. Travel, we love travel. Different things. We did everything together. No matter what it was, we did it together.
Yeah. And how are you? It's been the most incredible, unspeakable of tragedies.
It's very hard. You know, when you're together with somebody for 24 years and then suddenly that person walks out the door and doesn't come back in the evening, that's very hard.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. Like, and there's a huge void left there.
Great to be the first Clare person to climb to the top of Everest. So I suppose that's something that's always going to be there. And yeah, I suppose it, you know, Clare isn't known for great mountaineers or for great mountain ranges. But look, it worked out and it was good to get Clare there. There's no place like home. And I was after about a week in Nepal, I was starting to miss the home comforts and missing home. So you can climb Everest up and down in 5 or 6 days, but to allow the body to be able to do that, you have to spend quite a bit of time out there. So I came across was on the summit night, about an hour out of camp, and this person was on the trail, and they're you'd step over their legs. It was somebody from last year, and it's really sad. It's just you know, it's the most upsetting thing up there is when you see somebody there, because that could be any of us. And to be honest, at the time I looked, and the person was wearing the same boots as I was wearing, same brand. They looked identical and they looked new. And I just had this moment where I remember when I got my boots and they arrived to the Armada. And so for about an hour beforehand, I started running through those thoughts. And then when I got to the top, I just kind of had the tearful moment, which I didn't think I would have. And I spent about 25 minutes up there, looked around, soaked it all in for a while, and then just kind of got down to the business of taking pictures with flags and logos and trying to do, I don't know, philosophically, you feel like you're closer to heaven. And I suppose because you've gone through so much to get there. And I felt, I felt closer to my dad and to John Curtin. And I just, it was nice to reflect on and spend a bit of time thinking about them.
You know, it's been a really interesting journey from the fish shop in Ennis through Dedannan, through solo in Ireland, and then, you know, working with different people over in the States. And I've recorded 10 records, I think, solo records. And I've been lucky enough to have 2 Grammy nominations. It's been wonderful. But strangely enough, my mind always wanders back to County Clare. And this song that really kind of epitomizes how I feel about it. And I'm very delighted that my sister Anya is singing harmony on this. I came back to Ireland in 97 and recorded Wandering Home, and this was one of the songs that I did in it. And I sang it during the FLA and people loved it. It just conjures up a memory for me, I think, and for anybody that comes from Ireland even, but particularly County Clare. He wrote the song initially because Michael Russell had just died and he wanted to write an elegy for him. But in the end, he made it an elegy to County Clare. We had 2 musicians from America there with us. Jerry Douglas produced it, and Dave Francis, my bass player, was with us. So we had a great amalgam of Irish musicians. Artie McLean was there, Paul Brady was there, Donal Lunny was there. We had pipers. It was great. It was wonderful. And Jerry played the guitar on this, and it just conjures up a good musical marriage between Ireland and America, I think. And as well as that, it's an absolute love song to County Clare, which is what I think is lovely about it. And this is The Shades of Gloria.
Hills lie in the foaming grass of Clare, below the cold moonlight. You should come.